All right. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It is good to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, we're going to continue in the book of Matthew. We're going to continue in the book of Matthew. I just want to remind you guys, some people will not come to church, but maybe you could invite some of your friends to listen to church, and we can see a few of them come to know the Lord in this time of crisis, because God is still saving souls. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 10. 1 through 10. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind. He brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went and hung himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, the field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what has been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him to whom a price been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them to the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Father, Lord, we pray this morning that you would help us as we look into your word. And Father, we don't want to forget what time in our life like today. We pray especially for those of us who are your children, who are working in the medical field, those who has to go work in the grocery stores, those who still have to go work in the pharmacies and all those areas that are still operating. Father, we pray, God, that you'll put a hedge of protection around them and keep them from this virus. Father, we ask, oh God, that you would place a hedge of protection around your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Let's see what God has for us in this scripture today. Jesus was judged, found guilty, and sentenced by the righteous, and all they needed was someone to carry out the death sentence. How do I know that? John chapter 18 and verse 31 tells us, Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful to us to put anyone to death." They judged him and they sentenced him, and now they were looking for someone to carry out the sentence. In Luke, we know what he was accused of. Luke tells us in Luke 23 and verse 2, it says, "And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this man misleading our nation.'" First accusation. Second, "He was forbidden us to give tribute to Caesar." Third, "He was saying that he himself was Christ the King." Jesus stood trial, found guilty, but you know what? They were not charging him with the right charge. They were charging him with everything else except what they're supposed to be charging him with, which is our sin. Because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 3:23. We all have sinned. Romans 5:12 tells us, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because of sin." We have all sinned. We are all guilty of sin. Now, First John tells us what sin is. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning is practicing lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness." One translation says sin is breaking the law. They were charging Jesus of sin, yet he was without sin, because he had not broken the law of his Father. Have you broken the law? I could just mention one of the Ten Commandments. We all could probably say, "I've broken the law." Because I've heard some people say, "Why should we be held accountable for what Adam and Eve did?" But the scripture says, "Thou shalt not lie." Folks, if you have never lied in your life, I would like to meet you. Because I believe 100% of us has told a lie. Therefore, we are practicing sin, breaking the law. Jesus didn't do that, but yet he stand trial. But what he was standing trial for was for our sins. He was taking our place. And the verdict was a righteous verdict, because they found him guilty. Not because of what they said he was doing here, but because of our sin. If you're listening today and you're wondering what I'm talking about, listen to this. I was taking a course, and this is how they explained it to me. It's like you're going down Highway 75. Or you go on the priority bus route. And you are seeing the signs that says 70 miles per hour. But yet you choose to drive 80 miles per hour. Not only that, you got off the highway and you're in a school zone. And you see the sign says, while this light is blinking, the speed limit is 35 miles per hour. And you ignore the signs and you went 75 miles per hour. And the cops come after you and pull you over. Not only that, you actually ran over a child. And you go before the judge, and they call you up. And as you stand there, and the judge is about to bring verdict on you, and you hear somebody in the back of the room say, "I'll take his place." You're condemned, life in prison. And someone in the back say, "Judge, I'll take his place." That's what Jesus did. Jesus was on trial for our sins. You know, sometimes we can go through all the steps to salvation and still not be saved. Do y'all know that? We can take every physical step, every guideline. We could even go through the 4 or 5 or whatever spiritual laws they have, and yet sit in the pew Sunday, Fridays, Wednesdays, and still not be saved. How do I know that? One, let's look at Judas. He changed his mind. Did you know Judas changed his mind? He sinned and he changed his mind about his sin. Here's what Matthew verse 27 says. Then when Judas, the betrayer, saw Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind. You know, one of the first things I always tell people is to change your mind about sin. That's one of the first. Change your mind about sin. Here is Judas. He has committed a sin. He has committed a crime. He has broken the law, and he got to a place where he changed his mind. 2. These are good steps to salvation. He repaid the debt. Listen, it says, he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Not only he changed his mind, but he took back what wasn't his. I've known a lot of people that have given me stories that they got saved and they had taken something from somebody 10 years ago and they go back and pay for it. Or they go back to the store and say, I did this, I got saved, and I want to make it right. He wanted to make it right as best as he can in the flesh, and he took it. He took back the 30 pieces of silver. In my eyes, if I didn't know his whole story and they had left out that he had gone and hung himself, I'd think this man made the right choice and he repented, and right now he is saved, sanctified. Here's the other thing. What do we say first you have to do before you admit you're a sinner? Here's verse 27, verse 4. It says, he's saying, I am a sinner by betraying innocent blood. He admit he's a sinner. He took back what he stole. And he was sorry for what he did. But yet, he did not find salvation. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 tells us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Whereas worldly grief produces death. Worldly grief produces death. Do you know that there's sinners out there that get sorry for a lot of things? But there's no heart change. You know, I'm reminded, now that I have little ones, I'm reminded how easy we could say, "I'm sorry." I'm reminded. I tell you, I have a little one. He's the best at it. And he does pull at your heartstrings. He would do something. I would get mad. I'd raise my voice because that's the only way he would stop. And then he would go up to his crib and he would cry for a few. And then he would stop crying. I'll go get him. And then he'll say, "I'm sorry for being bad." And about 3 minutes later, he's doing the same thing. He was sorry, but no heart change. No heart change. Here's another one. Be careful, Christians, that you are not walking in sin. Because the Jewish leaders were careful to observe the law even while they were breaking it. Do y'all realize that? Matthew says in verse 4, saying, Judas came to them and said, I have sinned, I have betrayed innocent blood. That should have been a cue to the righteous to realize that they have done something wrong. But what did they say? What is that to us? See to it yourself. How do I know that they know they were doing something wrong? Verse 6 says, but the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money. Wait a minute. Where did they get the money from in the first place? And here they're saying, once I am away from it, it's not affecting me. Some of you Christians, you think because I am not participating, but you are giving your consent, you are part of it. This opened my eyes to something. I've never thought about this until I did this message. When I was a manager, I had assistant managers. And when I was assistant manager, we had other assistant managers. And every time the DM come by, they would say to me, you don't walk around with him. I will. Because you're going to try to tell him the truth. I don't have the convictions. But me just walking back and allowing them to do it, to deceive their boss, I was part of it. Why? Because I gave my consent. Some of you Christians are just like these Jews that are mentioned right here. You're feeling like you're so righteous, but in your everyday life, you're giving people consent to sin because you are part of it. They were part of it and didn't even realizing it. And they knew it, but for some reason, there was a disconnect. They were looking for a way. They found that man when he come to him. They paid the guy. Then they condemned him, but they did not want to do the wrong thing by putting a man to death, so they find somebody else to do their evil. And then when that very person's heart becomes in a place where it needs help, I wonder, just for a minute, if the Jews had said, oh, look what we've done. And when he came and returned that money and cast it on the ground and they too were convicted, they probably could have helped Judas to not to be in so much remorse that he could realize he can find repentance in Christ. When you are part of it, you can't lead them to the Savior. True repentance comes from the heart.
Okay. And I think it's impacting the laptop.
Sunday.
Thank you for the warning.
You go to Bible study, and you really don't have a heart change. You know, here's what happened with Peter. And Peter remembered in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75. It says, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crow, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter was affected. And his effect was from the heart. This story reminds me of a scripture in the Bible in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. For though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or gave thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their own bodies among themselves. Did you know that Judas had a few warnings before he got to this place? Because they all say, "Is it I? Is it I?" And Jesus said, "The one who dips his hand with me." Judas knew he was the one. He had opportunity. Folks, not everyone that seeks God's forgiveness is going to get it. I don't understand it. All I know, if your heart and change, you're not part of his kingdom. Folks, there's a way that we can know that we are serving God, and only you can know it. Because, guys, I see people raise their hands and shout, and I've grown up in the Pentecostal time when people were falling on the ground and rolling around and, for lack of a better word, hanging from the chandelier. I've known people that spent a lot of time with the Lord, and then a few years later, where are they? Back doing the same thing they were doing before they say they were a Christian. Why? Because there wasn't a heart change. Now, what Judas did, we have to do. We have to recognize. First, we have to recognize that we are a sinner, that we have sinned. And the one where he returned it, that's only by the leading of the Holy Ghost. If God leads you to go back and repay or go back and ask somebody for it, go ahead and do it. But it must be done from the heart. The Father said, "He that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth." So this morning, I'm calling us to a deeper commitment to Christ. You who have been walking around, coming to church, but your heart is not committed, and you know it. You know it. So this morning, I'm calling on you. Don't let what happened to Judas happen to you. As I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, why it is he could not find repentance?" Now, prophecy had to be fulfilled. But I wanted to know why he couldn't find repentance. And the only thing that came to my heart is, when you don't believe Jesus is enough. I had a guy told me once that Jesus could not forgive him for what he has done. It took him a long time to tell me, because he was in the military, and he went on two tours, and he did a lot of killing when he was there. And some was children. And he said to me with tears, "God cannot forgive me for what I've done." See, when you do not understand the mercy and the grace of the Savior, you're not going to be able to receive what he has for you. I shared with him, and I told him, I said, God understand what a person have to do in time of war. But we have to realize that God is bigger than all we have done. It says he forgives us of all our sins. It was Wednesday, this scripture came up. It says, if any man should come after me, let him deny himself, pick up the cross, and follow me. So today, I'm not going to lead you in a sinner's prayer. What I'm going to ask you to do is to find a place right where you are, in the bedroom, in the kitchen. Find a place and go to God, knowing that your heart is not right, but you want forgiveness. And I guarantee you, God's grace is big enough for all that you have done. Let us pray. Jesus. Jesus. Father, your grace is big enough. You said in your word, O God, that you so love the world that you send your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, some of us this morning need a heart change. Some of us this morning recognize that we are sinners. We know it. And we will gladly admit it. But yet, Lord God, we would not allow for you to have full control of our lives. Father, one of the problems we have is we don't know who you are. We don't understand who you are. Your Holy Spirit has not revealed to us your great love. So this morning, O God, we ask that your Holy Spirit will reveal your love to everyone that is here in this morning. That your Holy Spirit will grip their hearts and that they will realize and understand that you can take them from that place they are right now to where they need to be. Father, we ask, O God, that everyone, after they get off of this Zoom, Father, that they would find a place, O God, and that they would surrender their lives to you in the name of Jesus. And it would not just be, O God, an outward act, but it would be an inward change. Let your Holy Spirit draw them in the name of Jesus. And Father, we want to thank you and praise you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go and be blessed.